What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. Q&A show. Let's go. Kobe Galanzowski says, what events do you think the two-night weekend idea would work best with? WrestleMania, Wrestle Kingdom, maybe one big AEW New Japan Impact ROH like group show. I think it could work with that. Aubrey says, any confirmation the Diamond Mine is not Tessa or idea on who it is? Yes, it's not Tessa based on what I've heard. Owen says, probably gotten this one before, but who would you like to most see in the new Diamond Mine NXT faction? I would like to see a really great manager, a really established talent, an up-and-coming talent that maybe hasn't been used a lot, and then a brand new talent is what I would like. At least one or two very established names, though. Will there be a WWE draft this year? There will be some sort of shakeup this year. At least that was planned. That was the tentative idea. But when I say that, I don't mean like, hey, let's go out and report this. It means that is what the creative team operates on anytime that I speak with them. Is there a rough date for SummerSlam yet? Where do you think it will take place? I think Arizona or Texas, and looking at the calendar, I think probably August 29th is what I would expect, but there's no word on that yet. Since Samoa Joe got released, is he barred from appearing on Up, Up, Down, Down? I'm sure they'd let him if he wanted to, but I wouldn't expect him to be on there anytime soon. Frederick Connie says, what dirt does Drake Wirtz have on WWE to remain employed? He has been very lucky to remain employed through the end of last year, much less the beginning of this year. And it's not that he has any dirt. He does not have dirt on them, but he's very lucky that he has not been let go as of yet. And he's got significant heat and has had significant heat dating back at least a year within the company. I'll expand on that whenever I can get some more confirmations and things like that. But a constant topic of frustration among NXT staff, wrestlers, all that stuff. Sean, what do you know about Diamond Mine? I know a bit. I know that it's not Tessa. I know that it's not Parker Boudreaux. I do not know why people think it's him. Most of these people had not taken a bump before a couple months ago. I am not sure why so many people on Twitter think it is people who did not know what a babyface or a heel was 3 months ago. It is a TV-ready act, from what I understand. But I've had people say, is it Tessa? Well, I don't think it's Tessa. I've had somebody say, is it a faction? Well, if it is, I'll operate on the assumption that it is, but I don't think it's Parker, and it is not Tessa, or it was not Tessa, at least to those in NXT. Michael Branson says, what do you think should be the big four WWE pay-per-views? I think it should be, well, I think they should do a big five, quite frankly. I think they should do Rumble, SummerSlam, Mania, Survivor Series, and Money in the Bank. I think Money in the Bank should be a big pay-per-view. It should be a big deal. But if you got to remove Survivor Series and do Money in the Bank, I'd do that. Do you know of any other women's wrestlers headed to Impact Wrestling? And somebody asked, who is the woman that I was going to report? I am real, real close to reporting this. I'm so close, so close. And from what I understand, this person won't be around at least anytime soon. But yes, I know of at least one name that they plan on bringing in. And like I said, there's things I gotta tighten up, like from an official standpoint, in order to repeat this or to report this stuff. But it is coming, subscribers. I promise you, it is coming. Any idea when Bobby Fish is coming back? They were hoping the spring. I don't know if he is, but they were hoping the spring. Cameron Hutton says, worst interaction you have had when trying to set up an interview. I tried to set it up an interview with Cameron one time, and whoever her manager was had found a comment from when she was wrestling where I I criticized her pinning somebody upside down, and they wanted me to delete that comment from a comment board on an article from months before, or else they would not give me the interview. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not even gonna pursue this interview then. I never even got to Cameron, so I don't know if that reflected her personal interest, but whoever was setting up the interview for her did that. I mean, I don't know if they thought I was gonna try to get her in like a ha-ha, gotcha, but I think anybody that listens to my interviews know that that's not how I'm gonna frame it. I'm gonna be generous of and respectful of someone giving me their time. Now, if they've been in some shit, and they got to know that that's on the table. If you make an error like that, I will frame it in the nicest way possible and ask you, what was going on there? I mean, I didn't have a problem deleting that type of thing. If it hurt her feelings personally, then I would have gladly deleted it. But that's not what that was. It was a respectful criticism of in-ring work, not a personal attack. I do not do personal attacks on people like that. That's just, come on. This is wrestling. That's probably the worst experience. Danny Valentine says, I find it baffling that Tessa Blanchard is not signed to a major company right now. Is it not feeling like she's ready, or is it companies feeling hesitant to sign her due to her past? It is 100% due to her past. If those stories would not have emerged, she would have been signed somewhere. Even if these companies had kind of known about it, that she would have been signed. It's just the fact that the stories came out, she is not signed. And it's not that baffling to me. There has been no real effort for an apology. There has been no real effort or anything for culpability. I am not above forgiving almost anyone. Now, granted, there's some obscene shit that you can't be forgiven from, and there's no way you can grow from it. Tessa Blanchard, I feel like, possibly could grow, get better, and understand, hey, that stuff that I did and said, and the people that I treated poorly, I shouldn't have done that. That was really bad. But we've not seen any of that. Ricardo says, how realistic is the notion that Kenny can attain the IWGP Heavyweight Championship? I want to hope, but the cynic says no. I feel like he would have to maintain a full New Japan schedule in order for them to be willing to do that. I think that would be very hard to pull off. In the modern day, it's impossible to pull off with his AEW obligations. So right now, I don't think it's possible at all. I don't think it's realistic at all. I think down the line, it's possible. If I were New Japan, I would be wanting to work with AEW. If there is one thing that I have learned in pro wrestling, beyond never say never, it is let bygones be bygones for the sake of business. For the sake of business, let it go. Just let it get, let the issues go. If it's something that can be overcome, then go ahead and get over it. And right now, with WWE Creative at an all-time valley in their history, viewership nearing all-time lows weekly, this is the opportunity to give wrestling fans something different and something special. Well, whenever you're able. Matt and Caleb says, with New Japan allowing Mox to defend the U.S. title on Dynamite, do you think once COVID dies down, New Japan would allow or want a few of the wrestlers who are signed to AEW to compete in their tournaments and possibly win? Yes, I do. I think that we have seen their willingness to do this type of stuff. I know that New Japan Strong is a little bit different, way different than everything else going on right now. But we've seen Impact wrestlers pop up over there. We're seeing MLW wrestlers pop up over there. We're seeing Yuji Nagata on Dynamite. We saw Kenta on Dynamite. We saw Moxley jump over there. This is in the pandemic era where it's been very difficult to do a lot of this stuff. Now, also, New Japan Strong might not exist if not for the pandemic. They had a lot of contracts to fulfill and content to create, so we'll see. But I think it's very possible. I think that's way more possible than like Omega just popping up and winning some stuff, for sure. Reed says, What do you think is the end game for Ilya Dragunov as far as a brand or winning the NXT UK title eventually? Well, again, I've said this over and over again. I don't think the person who has beaten Walter is around yet. I think that is a TBD. You wait and find out. As far as Ilya Dragunov, right now, I think the end game is for him to just keep competing and probably eventually challenge for that title again. But I don't see any reason or plan to take the title off Walter. And I know that creates an awful big logjam, but you know, you can always compete for the tag team titles, Heritage Cup. There's a lot of stuff you can do over there. But Walter's the guy. He's the guy. He's very clearly the guy. Davey Turner says, fantasy booking. Punk signs for AEW. How do you book his debut? I think it's against MJF. MJF is riding high off of a very big victory. He's got the pinnacle out there. He says nobody in wrestling history can touch him. Not on in the ring, not on the mic. And then that song hits, and you know what? Tony Khan can get the rights to Cult of Personality. And CM Punk comes out there, and he just looks MJF in the face. And that's it. He doesn't say a word yet. The first time he says a word needs to be something that you build to. You do not have him do media. You do not have him tweet. The first time that he talks becomes an event. And it better be good. It better be vetted. It better be really, really good. He should put over MJF. He should not, like, negate him. It should be more of a, this is what brought me back. You are what brought me back. It needs to be reminiscent of Bret Hart, Steve Austin, 96. And I know that's something a little bit difficult and way different. Because we're talking about a guy who's been gone for 7 years right now. Bret Hart was gone 6 months. But when I was a little kid, it sure felt like Bret was gone for 7 years because I didn't know WWF without Bret. And this heel was just calling him out over and over and over again. And Bret, to my recollection, didn't bury Steve Austin. I was like, oh my God, this bad guy's not afraid of Bret Hart? He's not scared? And Bret's saying that he's good? What the hell's going on here? In my little cursing 11-year-old mind. I think that's the way you do it. You got to make sure he's on par in the ring. Then you find some people with history with CM Punk to back him up against the pinnacle. Although I do think that him as sort of the lone wolf stands up. I know that him and Colt Cabana are not buddies. But goddamn, that reunion on AEW TV... He saves him from a beatdown. They embrace. All the smart wrestling fans see these two. Maybe it's the Dark Order. Maybe it's Hangman Page and all them. But it's CM Punk and it's Colt Cabana. And they hug. And like I said, bygones are bygones. Get over your shit and make some money. I would love to see that. And anybody who doesn't want to see that, go YouTube. Colt Cabana, CM Punk, cut my promo, and you will remember how fun those two guys were as friends. Any update on Riho? Again, don't report this. I'm pretty sure she's back in Japan right now. Pretty sure. Or I should say was in April. But yeah, that's the last I had heard. Do you see Taz returning to the ring for a match in AEW? No, not at all. Maybe like for some sort of squash thing or like maybe something cinematic. But this guy has not wrestled a match in 19 years. I know he did the thing with Jerry Lawler at One Night Stand, but I was very disappointed by that. It was just a choke out and that's it. I didn't get to see him dump anybody on their head. It was a 35-second gimmick. He's not wrestled in 19 years, so I don't think that's going to happen. That's way different than Sting or Christian Cage or even Edge, because, I mean, he's in his, gosh, I think he's 53 now, which, you know, we see 53-year-olds wrestle, and who knows? Anything's possible, but I would be very, very shocked. Nathan Farley says, do New Japan and MLW have a relationship now that Tom Lawler is their New Japan Strong Champion? Any other MLW wrestlers appearing on Strong, or is that it? I think there will be more. I don't know if there's a formal relationship. Probably just a, yeah, we'll let them work there. Besides wrestling and MMA, what other sports are you a fan of? Oh, man, I'm a fan of almost every sport. I like watching soccer and hockey in person, but I don't follow them religiously. But, of course, there's boxing and those sports, like combat sports. But separate of that, I'm a big Cincinnati Reds baseball fan, big Cincinnati Bengals football fan. I am an adopted Toronto Raptors fan. I grew up a Chicago Bulls fan because I grew up in the 90s. We don't have a local team in Kentucky or Cincinnati, so I was a Bulls fan. But since working with a Toronto-based company, I have come to love the Raptors and always loved the city of Toronto. And Kentucky Wildcats basketball. Those are the primary ones. I like playing soccer a lot more than I like watching it. But of course, I'll watch USA in the World Cup, stuff like that. Really enjoy that. Men's or women's, don't care. Just yeah, I love sports though. If it wasn't pro wrestling, I'd be covering sports, some other sport, and I have a little bit, but wrestling's the love. Dev says, what's the morale like in the women's locker room in WWE? It's painful to see so many women having their primes wasted over the years in WWE. A lot of frustration based on those that I've spoken to, some of which are there, some of which have left. But there's a whole lot of frustration. I know the women on Friday want on the show more. The women on Monday want better stuff on the show. And I don't want to use that as a blanket statement. I'm just saying ones that I speak to. I don't hear a lot of frustration out of NXT or NXT UK. It seems like things are smooth there. But there's definitely frustration on the main roster. Jay says, SRS, based on what you hear from the Young Bucks to Kenny Omega, how is Triple H viewed in the eyes of other wrestlers that are free agents? And is he easier dealing with compared to Vince? Well, most people don't deal with him anymore. They deal with another person now. But back when Triple H was in that role, Young Bucks and Kenny Omega both said that they liked dealing with him and that they thought that they were going to end up going there at one point. But I hear generally positive things about people that deal with him directly. I mean, Matt Riddle had very nice things to say back when I would ask him about, hey, how is Triple H, like whenever you talk to him, yada, yada. He would say good things and would say that Triple H was complimentary before he brought him into the company. So generally favorable, I would say. King of the North says, with New Japan allowing Nagata to come over for Dynamite, do you think they'd allow people to go on excursion to Dark or Elevation? I'm a massive Tsuji fan, and I think he's got great personality. It could translate over there. I wish they would, and let me tell you, Shota Umino is who we need. That's who we need doing a run in AEW with Moxley. Oh, man. Give me that. That was magic there. I mean, I don't think he's wrestled in over a year. And before that, of course, he was in the UK for a few months. But I remember by the time that I spoke to John Moxley, both times that I spoke to John Moxley last year, Umino was over in the UK. But yeah, I think they'll allow that whenever that becomes a possibility. And I mean, it could be a possibility now. I'm surprised they haven't now that I think of it, because they can just send people over here. Nick says, hey, Sean, what's your favorite WWE music album they've released? I love Volume 4, and the Anthology Collection they've released was phenomenal as well. I feel like the Anthology album is cheating, though, Nicholas. That was like so many themes. That was an easy one to pick. That was like, what, 3 or 4 discs? It was 3 discs, and I remember there were like 30-plus tracks on the first disc, and 30-plus on the second, and then like almost 20 on the third. So we're talking like almost 90 theme songs there. That's an easy one to pick. I did like Volume 4 because I that's one of the only ones that I had. I did like Full Metal an awful lot because it had the Thorn in Your Eye song on it. I didn't actually have I don't think I had any others except for one, and it was my favorite, Forcible Entry. I mean, the Drowning Pool, Triple H theme was good, the Kid Rock theme, the Creed song, whatever. The Disturbed Glass Shatters, perfect. Benoit's theme by Our Lady Peace, amazing. You got the Limp Bizkit rolling track on there. I actually didn't care much for the Breaking Point Rob Van Dam theme, but then you get Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson and Saliva. I thought that Saliva Dudley Boys song was so great. There's Lita's theme by Boy Hits Car, Slow Chemical, Finger 11 with Kane. There's so many good songs. Underrated theme on there, Ravens by Stereo Mud. Oh man, there were so many great rock bands back then. Damn. What a great album. I didn't like Aggression when it came out, but I feel like upon a second listen, it might be good. I feel like rock music can almost get away with the corniness of some of these wrestling themes. And having people like Snoop Dogg, Method Man, ODB, Ice-T do some of the corny stuff that is in wrestling themes, I don't know if it worked as well. Although that Run DMC theme of DX was incredible. One day me and Denise are going to do a full podcast on this. We planned on it. What a great question. Who do you think should win men's and women's Money in the Bank this year? I think it should be Charlotte Flair and probably Seth Rollins or Cesaro. And that's how Cesaro forces his way into a title shot. Ray says, obviously Blood and Guts upcoming, and you don't want to overuse the stip, but we've only seen one cage match in AEW. Do you think that changes by the end of the year? Yes, I think we'd see another steel cage match this year. Justin says, do you think the New Japan Young Lion excursions will be a thing of the past, or could you see someone like Tsuji leaving around the end of this year? Oh, I think it'll definitely continue. It's a method that's working really well for them. Is Bear Country still with AEW? Haven't seen them since their match against Jurassic Express last month. Well, I mean, that was like 3 weeks ago. They did the Figure Wrestling Federation show that week, which was taped. But they still promote all of AEW stuff, so I'm inclined to say yes. Oliver says, any word on why AEW changed their mind on Blood and Guts being a one-match show next week? I think it was just somebody misspeaking, I think is what that was. Sean Collins says, what's the one commentary tick that bothers you the most? For me, it's the way that Vic Joseph emphasizes random words and syllables with the action inside the ring. For me, that's easy. It's calling spots as oh and ooh and ah. Sometimes it happens. I've been a commentator before. I've done a lot of commentary work. And sometimes your instincts take over, and when you react to something, it's just the way that you react. Like, I know it's a running Bruce Pritchard joke, pronouns, pal, but it is important to say, instead of, he hurt him, who hurt who? Okay, well, on UFC 261, Kamaru hurt Masvidal. Kamaru knocked Masvidal down. That's important. It is painting a picture. But the ooh, oh, ah, that has never been an instinct. That's not the way that most people do things. They learn to avoid it if they do. And it's really dumb. It's so stupid. It's the goddamn worst on commentary. Give me stupid pop culture references all day over ooh, oh, and ah. It is so annoying, and they had Adnan Virk doing it ad nauseum on Monday. Woof. Sheila. Love to see Sheila here. Are there any companies who want to or are currently working with ROH? Seems glaring New Japan talent are showing up on Impact and AEW and not on ROH, despite them still maintaining their working relationship. I'm not sure if they have still maintained that working relationship, so after the Enzo and Cass thing, there was some frustration there, and that almost cost Ring of Honor the relationship. It was really close. And if you guys want to hear more about that, my interview with Tama Tonga, he was very, very transparent about how he did not like that. He wanted to be clued in, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they cooled on the New Japan Ring of Honor partnership for a very, very long time. And it seemed like it was back last year around WrestleMania time. And that was going to get some major buzz for both of them. It was going to help out both of them. But then that just didn't happen. And we've not really seen anything since then. And I'm sure they could have made something happen. Somebody could have been on excursion over here or doing something. But that didn't happen. So I've not heard of any companies that are working with Ring of Honor right now. I mean, maybe Maryland Championship Wrestling for the dojo. Be about it. Bailey says, any word on whether Sasha is on leave? It seems she's no longer in storylines. But when she was filming The Mandalorian, she kept appearing in WWE. I would have loved to see how that continued, especially after seeing the tweet of the video. I'm not sure she completed the heel turn before that. I know that somebody else had asked if she got in any trouble because that there was nothing like that. That was, from what I understand, that was not the plan at all to continue this, that Bianca feud after WrestleMania. But I know there was no issue there, but hasn't been on the show, taking a little bit of time off is all I was told, but I asked and it wasn't expanded beyond that. Omar says, any heard any news or discussion regarding if talent are getting COVID vaccinated in WWE? It's at their own discretion, but yeah, I've heard of a lot of talent that are getting vaccinated. Who's the biggest jerk in wrestling you've ever had to deal with? It can be a talent or behind the scenes person. It is not a wrestler. It is not. Well, if we're talking about in wrestling, it's one specific PR person who pretends that they went to bat for me a bunch and they didn't, and they tried to bury us and bury Fightful, and then somebody else came along and they said, no, this person is not going to bat for you. This person is. And I found out and I was very appreciative of that. As far as just biggest jerk in wrestling, period, I mean, I'm not, like, there are obvious ones, like Austin Aries is a dumb fuck, clearly. Like, he's fucking stupid. But just straight up, like, that I've dealt with personally, Matt Holmes, the guy who runs What Culture, is an absolute piece of shit. That guy is so bad. And you guys will not hear me talk like that about hardly anybody, but what a piece of shit that guy is. Had me quit. I mean, I'm talking about my personal experiences, not anybody else. But you know what? Go on Glassdoor. See how the reception to him is. Had me quit like six freelance jobs that I had at that time to work full time. Switched the details of the job day one. Fired me 2 weeks later and said, you should probably give up on wrestling news. It's not going to work out for you. There you go. Piece of shit. Real bad guy. Terrible guy. Everybody else that worked at What Culture was wonderful. He was a piece of shit. JB says, what's your match of the year first quarter of 21? Mox and Barnett for me. Either Sasha Bianca or Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker from me. I thought those were just perfect for what they were. Mox and Barnett's right up there. If I had a third, that would be it. AJ says, I know a lot of people have speculated about how NHL and TNT might adversely affect AEW, but do you think the NHL's presence could be beneficial to AEW? Yes, I do. So AJ, we have seen stuff like AEW running after NBA that can work out pretty well. And I think they will be more than happy to grab that demographic and do a special after an NHL playoff game. AJ, I think you're right on the money. I think it definitely will find a way to be beneficial. Get your eyes and get fans' eyes on this stuff. Maybe they'll like it. Maybe they'll be like, you know what? I didn't used to like wrestling, but this looks pretty cool. It's a possibility. Nicholas says, in both AEW and WWE, who are the top five promos? I won't do top five. I'll do top in each one. AEW, MJF, without a doubt, is the best promo there. In WWE, I think that Roman Reigns has the most effective promos. I think LA Knight has the most unique delivery, and I think that probably Bayley has the best overall promos based on accomplishing what you need to do, and they don't let a lot of people be themselves. Dallas says, who's the third Impact Knockout that signed that you were going to announce? Hasn't signed, but they're hoping to bring him in. Ryan says, where do you think Tessa Blanchard will sign? She'll be great for any division. AAA, maybe. With the NFL draft tonight, hopefully Cincy picks Sewell or Chase, who would you say would be the top five picks of a fantasy wrestling league? Well, it really depends on the rule set. Like, are championships more valuable? Are straight matches more valuable? Because if it's like matches are the most valuable, well, then it's I would have to pick like a Nia Jax or a Shayna Baszler because they wrestle all the time and they wrestle on both shows. Are they weighted? Like, for example, I did an MMA fantasy league where, and this is in the 2000, like before 2010, called Top Gun MMA. It was so much fun. Where the company, like if it was in UFC, it was worth more points than Strikeforce. If it was a title, for a title, it was worth a lot more. If that were the case, I would have to say Darby Allin, because Darby Allin's defending his title all the time, every single week if he can. That would have to be up there. I would go with a mid-card champion who is more likely to defend their title as well. I would probably go NXT Tag Champions. They seem like they defend theirs quite a bit. Yeah, I think those are fair bets. Becky says, do you think Sonya's latest power grab will lead to her in-ring return or cement her authority figure status for the time being? Still hoping for a Money in the Bank win, but the time is ticking. Oh, I hope she puts herself in Money in the Bank and wins it. But Becky, the good thing is either one of those sound really, really good. Like, because she's good at both of them. I want to see her back in the ring. I think that they need her back in the ring as well. Raw and SmackDown need depth, and they need time. Need time. But yes, I think it'll lead to her in-ring return eventually. But I think for now, it's probably utilizing her as a character because she's really good at it on Raw. I know that's me playing both sides of the coin. I'm sorry, but she's just so good at both of them. I think eventual return to the ring, for now, outside the ring. Bob Harris, I love seeing Bob Harris here. What a great guy he is. Always love seeing him in the chat as well. I'm a huge fan of big-time wrestling indie shows. Any word on how big-time wrestling promotion is holding up during this mess? Will they survive? Well, Bob, it depends on which one that you mean. If you mean the one that was in New England and would book, like, the Dudleys, and it would occasionally book, like, Psychosis and people like that, I've not heard a single thing about them. They're the ones that use that crown as a logo, but I've not heard anything. I know that they had planned a show last April, and it's not happened since then. I don't think they've had any shows since then. They have been active on their YouTube, though, and they do, like, I think some sales, like some merch sales and stuff like that. So I'll reach out to Big Time Wrestling. I'll reach out to both of them because there's also a Big Time Wrestling in California. Now, I don't know if you're based in California, but these people are very active from the Bay Area on at least social media. If it is the one out west, they will be fine because I know that I've seen them staying active on social media, like I just said, but they'll like retweet my stuff sometimes. But I also saw them reach out to FCW or FSW Vegas about like a co-promotional show. So I'm gonna drop you a message, Bob, and find out which one that you're talking about, and I'm gonna find out more information on that for you. But yeah, I'll reach out regardless and see about both of them. Why not? Why not? Mass Gamer says, how's NWA doing? No buzz. Behind a paywall. It is not great. We get no interest in NWA. The most interest we get in NWA is when somebody says, oh, will Kenny Omega face Nick Aldis? Or when's this person's contract up? Hunter says, what are your thoughts on this new wave of more dominant physical style of female wrestling across the board with Rhea, Raquel, Grace, Ellering, and Statlander? Great to see a variety of styles in women's wrestling getting exposure. Hey, don't negate Britt Baker there. She's beating the living shit out of people right now, and so is Thunder Rosa. I love it. You got to vary up the styles. I like the transitions and the smooth stuff that you get from a Britt Baker, but I also like the good physical style that you get from them. I think it's wonderful. I think, the power offense of a Jordan Grace. I love it. Styles make fights, and the contrast of styles really makes for more interesting fights. I adore it. Mick says UFC 261 has got to be the craziest night of fights I've ever seen. Do you know if any other fighters on the card watch the fights as they happen? How do you think they deal with such a devastating injury like Weidman's and still come out and fight? I talked to somebody on that card. They said that they fought before, though. And they were like, yep, that was gruesome. It was sick. It was gross. It made me feel fortunate that I fought before because I probably would not have thrown calf kicks otherwise. Yes, they do watch the fights as they happen. They have a warm-up room, and they have a monitor back there where they get to watch the fights as they happen. And, of course, that gives them ideas. It gets them an idea of where the time is and all that. But, yeah, they watch it as it goes on. Their monitor's all over the place backstage. And, yes, that was one of the most fun, incredible nights of MMA that I have ever covered, been a part of, anything like that. It was the first night with fans back, and do I wish things were more safe? Yes, I do. But I cannot sit here and pretend like I don't enjoy fans at these events. I want everybody to be as safe as possible. Let me tell you, I covered that MMA beat for 10 years. That crowd ain't going to be too safe. But the Anthony Smith win, first off, I was happy because I picked all the winners correctly. That was cool for me. But Anthony Smith beating Jimmy Crute, a good appearance from a former title challenger and a great performance. Jimmy Crute tried to gut it out. You had Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman. That was gross, but it's something you'll never forget. It was gross, though. I think Valentina Shevchenko is amazing. I love watching her fight. Her beating Jessica Andrade, I thought it would happen. But I think Valentina Shevchenko, if not the second best female fighter of all time, maybe third. I love Zhang Weili, but Rose Namajunas, that was emotional and that was special. She's been a longtime favorite of mine. And Kamaru Usman, I think he is so goddamn good. I feel lucky to get to watch those three champions, those four champions, including Zhang Weili, fight. I get to watch those four people fight, and that feels special to me. And that's a thing that I think that wrestling is, WWE wrestling is often missing. WWE Monday Night Raw wrestling is missing, because I feel very lucky that I get to watch Roman Reigns perform, and that I get to watch Walter perform, and Bianca Belair perform. That's something that Monday Night Raw is missing an awful lot. I want to feel like what I'm watching is special. Like, goddamn, I'm lucky I get to watch that person. That's what Kamaru Usman, Rose Namajunas, Zhang Weili, and Valentina Shevchenko made me feel on Saturday night. Like, oh my God, I have to watch this because I'm missing something if I don't watch it. That's all I ask of wrestling. Make it mean something. And companies that are doing that, brands that are doing that, I applaud you. Last question. Avery Dunn says, what's it like setting up interviews with MJF? I've never seen him remotely out of character and would love to know if he kayfabes anyone. Well, you're implying that that is a character and that he ever doesn't act like that. And let me tell you, it's not always on to that degree. But there is a whole lot of MJF right there, and that is the guy. Legitimately, when I did the interview with him at the MGM Grand, and that guy came over and he's like, oh, you can't film here. He's like, oh, I can I? He's like, I can't. About to perform in front of 15,000 people in this room right over here. I can I? setting up an interview with MJF, well, now it's got to be done through AEW. So I could beg him for an interview all I want. Unless he's feeling really nice that day, I ain't getting that interview because he would have to go to AWPR. Any interview that you see from an AEW wrestler should be, I don't want to say should, likely is set up through AEWPR. So their PR gets a hold of me. They say, would you like to interview MJF? And I'm like, well, not really, but I know it's going to do numbers, so yeah. And then we do it. I have interviewed him, I think, 3 or 4 times. One time was in MLW. One time before All In, or around All In. That was my first taste. And, of course, at the MGM, and then most recently. Yeah. Well, there you go. What's it like setting up with interviews with MJF? A nightmare. Well, I mean, okay. I think I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. After we left the MGM lobby, he was like, you know what, pal? We'll do this in my hotel room. And I said, okay, cool. That's awfully nice of you. On our way to his hotel room, we are, again, in the MGM Grand. He stops, he sees somebody wearing an AEW hat in a restaurant there. This is Double or Nothing 2019 weekend, so they're everywhere. And he's like, hey, hold on. And he stares at this guy from like 30 feet away until he notices him. And when the guy stands up, MJF yells, fuck you, across the floor, which I can appreciate. Then he sees somebody else, and the guy goes, hey, it's... And MJF goes, fuck you. And we keep walking. Now, I'm going to do a long-form podcast about covering the show this weekend at some point. Or that weekend. I'm not doing it this weekend. I'm doing a podcast eventually about covering a lot of these events. And it took us 30 minutes of me toting camera equipment. I'm talking like the tripod, the camera, the lighting rig, the audio equipment, the backpack. It's not heavy, but it gets heavy after like 30, 40 minutes of walking around and a real life Jericho Ralphus situation going on here. It was something. Well, guys, thank you all so much. I know I did one question this time, but we got over 40 minutes. I think the method's working really well. I think it adds to the questions as well. Thank you all so much. I appreciate you. Spread the word, FightfulSelect.com. We're out.